Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, and Dr. Katie Eastman. The Best Ever You Show is here to help you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products, and businesses, real life stories with this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. And now, here are your hosts, Elizabeth and Katie.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's kind of late at night. If I yawn, I apologize, right, Katie? I don't know, it's been kind of a long day. I promise I won't yawn or fall asleep or anything like that, but it's almost past my bedtime here on the East Coast, but I'm awake and prying myself away from American Idol and all those fun things because this is cool and really fun. We have our first ever Best Ever You coaching call. It's part of our Create Your Best Life series. And hello, Dr. Katie, how are you?
I am fine, and thank you for doing it later because it allowed me to be on because I just got home from work. So this is great.
So we're having a long day, and it's good that way, isn't it, sometimes?
It is good. It is, because you know what? I have a sense we're going to get punchy, and we are really good when we get punchy. We have some of our best wisdom and ideas come forward, like, you know, that's when aardvarks and platypus and all kinds of weird things come out of our mouths.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to get us going here, I want to just invite you to call us if you want to ask us a question. The phone number is 714-868-0220. You can ask your question live on air with us, or I also have a chat room going where you can just follow the link for the show. There's a chat room at the bottom of the show, and you can type in your question right there as well. You can also tweet us at BestEverYou or Dr. Katie with two E's at the end, so DrKatieE, or BestEverYou on Twitter. And I just invite you, when we're done with the show here, to share it around. It's free. It's free coaching. If you were to pay for something like this, Katie, it would cost a lot to be in your office, I guess. Probably a couple hundred bucks an hour, I'm thinking. Wouldn't it?
It'd be up there.
Yeah. So, you know, so it's free. And we're doing this as a service. We're trying this out, and we haven't rehearsed anything or anything like that. We've written a little something. So we're going to give it a whirl. Ready, Katie?
Ready.
Ready. Okay, here we go. So the coaching call is called A Recipe for Being Your Best Ever You. And this is a recipe that Katie and I feel has been passed from generation to generation and is actually one of our favorites now. And you might not need everything that we're talking about, but we invite you to mix up some of the items on a daily basis and maybe follow the instructions of what I'm about to read, that Katie and I are about to read. And Katie, you said something earlier, and I thought it was so nice because it goes with our book, Percolate. And it isn't like we're saying that once you attend our call, everything's going to be all fine and dandy.
Oh, no. Oh, no. No. And just like a recipe, you know, my mom used to make these wonderful almond cookies. And so every Christmas, I try to make these almond cookies. I don't care how many times I have made that recipe. It is never the same. And life is like that. Our days are like that. Unexpected things happen. People come into our life, new activities, new events, and sometimes you're tired, sometimes you're... So no, we never get it right. We get pieces of it better than we do other pieces. But recipes are never perfect. They're always changing. And I think it's a great metaphor for the way we live our life.
Yeah, and I guess before we get started, I wanted to mention Percolate just a little bit more because Katie and I are the authors of Percolate, Let Your Best Self Filter Through, and that's coming out through Hay House later on in the year. We don't have an exact date yet, probably August, September, October, somewhere around there as far as the book is concerned. And so you can pre-order that book on Amazon. Again, it's called Percolate, Let Your Best Self Filter Through, and it kind of ties into anything we're going to be talking about each month on these coaching calls. And so I'll just keep going here. The recipe. Here's what the recipe calls for. I'm going to read half of them, and Katie will read half of them. But the items needed are definitely you. I think I might add family in there, too, but this is about you. So bring yourself to the party here. You need. We think you need about 20 cups of laughter, 15 cups of grace, 10 cups of peace, 10 cups of love, 7 cups of elegance, and 5 cups of courage. Take it away, Katie.
And 3 cups of patience, 1.5 cups of determination, 1.5 cups of acceptance, 1 cup of humility, 1 cup of confidence, 1 teaspoon of wisdom, and 1 pinch of reality.
Now, why do you think we wrote it that you need 20 cups of laughter and just 1 pinch of reality? Why not 20 cups of reality and a pinch of laughter?
Because every time we fall short, and we all do it all day long, we do something, we want to do something, we don't do it quite well enough. If you can laugh at yourself, you can get through it so much easier. And how many times in writing Percolate did laughter help us get through the times when we're going, we really don't know what to say here, so what are we going to do? And how did we come up with platypus? And what was the other one? I always, aardvark, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There are times when things are just, you don't know where to go next, and laughter gets you through.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I add the allergy alert to this, being the one with the allergies here, the food allergies. This product was not manufactured in a facility with any fear, jealousy, or doubt, because those are the sabotagers, right, to your success or to
being
the best you?
Anytime you're in a sense of fear, you're not in a place of love. And fear and love just really contradict each other. And when you're in a fearful place, it's really hard to be true to yourself and to connect with someone else. So, yes, actually, fear and doubt and jealousy and anything that separates you from someone else,
anger,
really is harmful to you. Anger,
yeah, like anger,
yep.
Rage, you know, all those. Some emotional aspects. Why, now how about this? Why not maybe 40 cups of love and 10 cups of laughter? Could love be at the top of that list too? Do you think the ingredients shift a little bit depending on the day, or do they have to stay this way?
Well, I think for me anyway, and my value system, love and compassion are at the head of the list always.
Mm-hmm.
Love, compassion, and laughter would be pretty up there.
Yeah.
It's different every day. And, you know, you mentioned earlier anger and negative emotions. Sometimes you need to be angry. Sometimes you need to be rageful, but you need to do it in a way that doesn't hurt someone else. So I think it's we never know when we get up in the morning what today's going to bring. And so absolutely, our recipe shifts and changes based on our day.
Yeah. Like today, I needed about 100 cups of patience. I could have used a truckload backing up into my driveway of patience, and it was a wild day a little bit. But anyway, but that's normal, right? You know, sometimes it's just that's the way the day goes. I know you had a little bit of that today too, where you're like, okay, patience.
Oh yeah. It's you know, there are days when you face people who just push every button you've got, and, you know, it's grace. Oh, give me grace, give me grace, give me grace, give me grace, you know, and you're barely holding on. And then there are days when you're just like, I am so grateful. I saw a golden eagle yesterday, and I just, my spirit lifted up into the heavens. I was so excited. So you just never know. You're going to have golden eagle moments, and you're going to have, I don't know what the opposite would be, but, you know, those other ones.
Upload at your door of something?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, let's go to
call it pond scum.
Something like that, yeah, exactly. Let's go to the steps that we're talking about. The first step that we came up in the recipe of putting the recipe together, mixing all those ingredients and actually doing something with them, is to stop thinking that everyone else has it better. you know it when you think it. They, you know, they drive a cleaner car, they have more cash in the bank, they have a bigger shoe collection, a better job, a book deal, a better body, a new baby, a nicer house, you know, better job, better husband, better wife, better, you know, whatever. You know, whatever else you might appear to see or think you see or assume is true of someone else's life. Everyone's life around the world appears to be perfect with the exception of yours. I know that in my case, you know, there's days when I catch myself kind of looking at the walls of my house going, you know, I wonder if that house across the street has hand prints and dog marks and the floors are all scuffed up or whatever. You know, if everything around our neighborhood and everybody else's house is perfectly unscathed and my house is the one, you know, it's got mud everywhere from baseball and all this stuff. But I think it's important to remind ourselves of whose reality you're really seeing, because if you look closely, you might ask yourself, or you might even discover that no one else's life is really perfect. And for every clean car, there's a little mess someplace else. You know, you just never know what other people are going through, right, Katie?
Well, not only that, but there's also, you can play a mind game. I did this with you with your pool. I mean, I have major pool envy for your pool, okay?
No, you do.
So I have to sit there.
I'm about to take another picture of it, too.
I have to sit there. I have to, like, play mind games with myself and say, okay, I have to stop envying Elizabeth the fact that she has this beautiful pool in her backyard because she lives in Maine and she can't use it all the time. She can only use it 3 months of a year. But I live in a place where the sun shines more often. And so I said, see, I have that. She has that. I don't need to envy her. And a lot of times I have to just say, well, what do I have? I have something wonderful, too. And it's so easy to think that somebody has something better. They might have something different. But you've got something they need, too. Yeah, I think that's a natural human tendency, that we all have to play that mind game from time to time. And I'm definitely going to have to play it this summer with your pool.
That's really funny. You know, I came across this today in actual motion. I was parked behind another baseball-playing family today at the school, and we have identical cars. And they're both a little bit older. My kids are starting to drive, so we're purchasing them cars from eBay or what, you know what I mean? We're starting to purchase cars. We have more than two cars now because the kids are starting to drive, and I was driving around in my son's car, and it matched his car, and he's like, nice car. And you could tell he was embarrassed because his car was older, he was trying to make a connection with me in Falmouth, Maine, that his car was older. And he goes, yeah, I'm so embarrassed to drive this around all the time. It's like 11 years old and all that stuff. And I'm like, hey, you know what? It runs. It's a beautiful car. It's clean. I don't know how old your car is, the same as mine. He goes, yeah, we have two really good cars. And I said, why don't we just be thankful that after 11 years, they're running and they look as great as they are. Don't compare yourself to anybody else. Just be happy with, I said this out loud, I'm like, you know, I don't play the keep up with everybody else thing. I just kind of do what makes me happy. And he's like, good plan. And we actually engaged in that discussion today because he was like fearful that he was driving around in an old car or something. And I'm like, oh my gosh. You know, have you ever done that? I know, see, now I have car envy with you. You have a convertible.
So
you
might
have pool envy,
that.
But I have car envy. But do you see how it goes?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, there's always, we could all waste energy looking at what we don't have that someone else has. But if we took that same energy and turned it into gratitude, well, what a difference that makes. So that's, we all have to practice that. Yeah, I have to practice that. Absolutely. I mean, if somebody walks by and they're wearing a turquoise outfit that I would kill for, yeah, I'm going to go, oh, I really want that. But I'm going to say no because I have a closet full of turquoise. So, you know, yeah, we all have to do that. Certainly. Absolutely.
Yep. All right. So what's the next one? Talked about that.
Moments matter. You know, this is one that is very near and dear to my heart because of working with cancer patients. And so often it's if only. I must hear that 20 times a day. If only I had blank, fill in the blank, before I got sick. If only I had blank before I got sick. And, you know, moments matter is all about the fact that none of us is promised the next moment or the next year or the next day. And it all matters. Time matters. So when your kiddo is saying, hey, mommy, look at this. I want to see this. I want to see this. Or want you to look at this. Or, you know, would you read this with me? Or can we do this? It matters. And I struggle with this because, well, you know, you and I, when we've been working on the book, we've been working on the book on the weekend, and, you know, she wants to go bike riding. And so, but it does matter. And we need to figure out ways to be creative with our time, but we can't take it for granted. Time is important. It's valuable every day, every minute.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. As a parent of a graduating senior in high school, right now it just is so wild to have a child leaving the house in the fall. I got a taste of it. It really is. I got a taste of it just this past week when he left to go to Florida for a week to play baseball for the varsity baseball team here, and he was just gone. And I've really never been away from him too much. And all I could think of the whole time he was gone was, okay, when he gets back, I'm not leaving his side for like 2 weeks, you know, kind of thing. I'm going to bug him. But you know, it's just wild how you, in just a blink of an eye, they go from being born to grown-ups. I just can't believe how fast children grow up. And everybody used to always say that. You know, like when I first started having kids, everybody would say, it goes by so fast. And you're like, I'm so tired. Really? You know, kind of I can barely lift my head off the pillow. I've been up all night with a baby crying or whatever. And it really does go by so incredibly fast.
It does. And, you know, I have gotten in the habit of asking my daughter, because I know there's going to fast come a time where she's not going to like me asking, but I'm going to ask anyway. I just check in with her every once in a while. I go, how am I doing as a mom? Am I doing okay? Do you need me to do anything different? Am I paying enough attention to you? Are you getting enough time? And you know, it's been really, I've been doing it for a long time, and she's used to it now. And she gives me honest answers. Like, oh, it really bugged me, Mom, when you were on the phone and I was doing blah, 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 and I really wanted you to listen to me. Or sometimes she'll just say, yeah, Mom, you know what? You're pretty cool and you're doing a great job. But I check in with her about that because I don't want to miss that time and have her turn around and go, well, you weren't there.
Yeah, you know? I hear you completely. And we kind of have some rules in our house of things we do and don't do, you know, because, you know, there's six of us in here. And I also believe that they each need to pay attention to each other, not just parents paying attention to children, but children paying attention to children. And there's some tight bonds with our kids. And so when our oldest leaves, you know, I think some of the younger kids in our house are going to miss him. Incredibly, he's going to be gone,
sure.
And he won't be, I'm thankful because we're here in Maine and he's going to go to school in Maine, so we're not so far apart, but yeah, those moments are mattering, and they seem to matter more and more in a way. It seems as you age, the moments become even more precious.
Yeah, you know, as you age, and I have 10 years on you, so I can speak to this a little better. As you age, the meaning of the time you spend changes.
Mm-hmm.
And you just become more aware of life in general becoming more precious and time becoming more precious because you start to lose people. And people start to get sick as you age. And more they do as you get older. And things start to creak and change, and you're always reminded as you age that of just the fact that things change. The only thing that stays the same is change.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So, anything else we want to add to that? Because we're basically just kind of raising awareness to what your almost kind of like what your priorities are in your moments.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think that point about deciding what your values are in the moments and what you value your time to be is a really important conversation to have with your family or the people you live with, because they're the ones that you want to spend the most time with.
Okay. If anybody has any questions, they can call us at 714-868-0220, and you can ask your question live on air as we're talking, or there's a chat room going. Feel free to type in the question or give us a tweet at Best Ever You or Dr. Katie, two E's at the end of that, K-A-T-I-E-E. I like that. Okay, so let's keep going then with our next part of the recipe for being your best ever you, which is find your why. And, you know, like we were saying earlier, it takes a look within to really learn and practice being your best ever you. Like you were saying earlier, it's not like some, you know, magic button you press and all of a sudden, you know, whoop, I'm my best me. You know, it's a lot of work and a lot of process and a lot of trial and error and missteps and learning and successes. And, you know, there's a lot of things that go into it. But there is always a moment to be your best or help. I love this, or help someone else be their best. And I know when we wrote this, you wrote this part, and I love this, and so I'm just going to read it. When we become engaged, consumed, or perhaps overwhelmed with life's responsibilities, it's easy to let ourselves slip into the behaviors or habits that are less than our best. And we live our daily lives facing a continuum between best and stressed. And then we've kind of both added a little bit that if your environment becomes cluttered, your life becomes cluttered. You know, anything that becomes cluttered, you might not sleep well, we might make choices that reduce our energy or even generate more stress based on our daily lives. And so I'd love for you to explain this a little bit more, because this is so key, because it's when this is happening, it's a huge clue to ourselves that something needs to change. Like today was a really big clue to me, like hit me over the head with a mallet kind of moment, like, okay, something's changing here. I'm not doing this anymore. And you almost have to either realize it like that, or you maybe have to stop and listen. You're the therapist. I'm just the life coach. So I think this is a lot of therapy right here.
Well, this is a huge, huge, huge issue. And yeah. I think one of the most important and valuable things any of us can do every day is take inventory of what's draining us. What is taking away our energy? What is directing our energy that makes us go, ugh? You know, my car is always a reflection of my mood. If you get into my car and you see junk and stuff piled up in the back seat, you know that I'm overwhelmed. But if I'm in a good space, you'll find my car clean and organized and everything put in its place. And I know that about myself. So I now start to look at my car and I say, okay, what's going on here? Look at the car, remember. And it's all about being awake. Being aware, taking time, looking around, listening to our bodies, being quiet, being still, and listening and feeling what drains us, and then making changes and making a decision. Like, it can be as silly and as little as, okay, I went to Walmart and got a trash can for my car, you know?
I believe that. That's a true story right there. She didn't just make that up.
No, that's a totally true story. And what a difference, you know, because now there's a trash can, and when kiddo's in the car with her friends and they're eating something in the back seat, it gets put away. And yeah. So it can be as silly as just finding something to put something in so it's no longer cluttered, but it takes taking inventory and being aware. And I think for me anyway, it's when I get too busy or too stressed. Like, I really love what we said in this, that life is really a continuum between best and stressed. We all do that every day.
Yep.
Best, stressed. And so stressed. What if we stop during our day and we take inventory, where are we in that continuum? That can make a huge difference.
Absolutely. And I think that when I was thinking about this too, it's like find your why. I'm wondering what that means to people when you say find your why. Why do you do things? Or what does that mean exactly? Find your why. That means a lot of things. Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, no, go ahead. You finish.
Well, I was just, to me, it really matters to understand what your why is. Because once you really understand what that is, you can make those changes and choices and things like that to go in the direction of best instead of stressed. So it's important. What makes you go, ugh?
Mm-hmm. And why do you allow it to stay? And the other why is, you know, why have you not seen it? Why have you devalued yourself enough to allow it to continue? Why are you in this place? Why?
Well, go ahead. Sorry, I thought you were done.
go.
Well, what's coming up for me right there is people in jobs they can't stand. That's immediately I think of all the people. Have you ever been in a job that you just can't stand? Has anybody on the call ever been in a job they can't stand? I think we all have been in jobs we can't stand. I really do. I'm thinking of one right now. And, you know, and what's your why for letting that happen? Continue to happen. But I think what comes up for me is that feeling of, like, people, I feel for people when they're in jobs they can't stand, because sometimes they're stuck in it, or they feel stuck in it, or this is a whole can of worms and probably another show, job changing or something. I don't know, but do you know what I mean? It's there though, because when a lot of people, they're so drained from just their job, forget everything else.
Oh yeah, And what's happening now, especially with people who are needing to take jobs that they don't necessarily want to take because of the economy, and some people have, and sometimes we have to do that. I mean, I've had to do it. My husband has to do it. And
we've had
you
to
do it for
yeah.
the. Yeah, we've all had to do it at different times. But the point is, even if you do it for a short period of time, it's a stepping stone to what you want. And that's the important difference, because if you're in a job that you hate, it's got to be temporary. You got to have a plan to get out. You might have to take one for a while just to pay the bills, but always remembering what's your exit plan is really key. Because otherwise, oh my God, that is such a drain. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
you feel like you have nowhere to go.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people feel that way from jobs, marriages. I don't know. Those are the two that jobs, marriages, locations,
housing.
I was going to say housing, actual location, maybe in the city you're in or state you're in or something like that. And then also, to me, it seems like people might feel this way when they're like a massive continuum of best and stress if you add any kind of illness in on top of any of that or by itself. So it seems like this is a really important part of the recipe for creating your best self.
Well, and it and the the foundational ingredient is self-esteem. Because if you aren't taking time, if we aren't taking time to take that inventory and ask ourselves, am I living my best or stressed, or where am I, then I'm not valuing myself. And if I'm just taking one lousy job after another, I'm not valuing what I really have to offer the world. If I'm in a relationship where I'm being abused or mistreated or degraded or devalued, I'm not valuing myself the way that I'm meant to be valued. So I think the most important ingredient in all of this is valuing yourself enough to want to be your best.
Yeah, and that leads us to our next point, which is, this one's yours. Sorry, I'm not reading all of them. I promised.
Well, it's kind of a good segue here. Examine your positive self. When you look in the mirror in the morning, what do you say? And wow, this one's a good one. When you're in a room full of people, what are you thinking, or how do you behave? Are you spewing venom on yourself? Are you killing your self-esteem? I mean, what is your self-talk? And positive thinking and positive self-talk is hugely important. And I was at a party the other night, and I found myself, oh, God, this would be true confessions, my Spanx were too tight, and I could barely breathe.
I was in New York, Katie. I was hopping around my hotel room trying to get my Spanx on. My husband was laughing so hard, he had to help me put my Spanx on. How embarrassing is that? And I bought the wrong size Spanx, or I'm too, because I'm not very heavy right now either, but I felt like I needed Spanx under this dress because it was super tight, you know, kind of thing. And I could not. It's awful. When the Spanx is too tight, the night's miserable, isn't it? You're like, I can't breathe.
It is. It is, because it shoots through all of these weird thoughts. All of
I'm
these
too
negative
fat.
Self.
Oh, my God.
Talk. And then you look around the room at the other, the younger, smaller, petite women who don't even need Spanx, and you're like, you know. So I really had to say, okay, Eastman, self-talk time. You know, where are you? What are you doing? God, you idiot. You're here with all these wonderful people having a wonderful time. Cut it out. So I did. I just stopped it. I stopped those thoughts, and I just said, I am going to be grateful for every moment of this evening. It is incredible. And I even sang that night. And let me tell you, tight Spanx and a song, holy nuts. That is
I know you well enough to be thinking, okay, I notice in the photo she's dressed in black. I'm like, oh, God, she's having like a feeling fat day or something. Because I know when I feel heavier, if I'm up in my room going, I'm so fat or whatever, I out comes the black clothes and the Spanx and the black shoes, you know. And did you do that the other day? Were you like, okay, I'm wearing black, so I'm thin in pictures?
No,
you didn't.
What I did. I did. I went navy blue because Callie and John would not let me go out of the house in black. They said, this is a party. We're not letting you wear black. So what do? I wore navy blue.
Navy blue.
And I still look, you know, in not great in pictures according to my standards. But, you know, it's really funny. It is all in your head. It is totally in our head. And there is not a person at that party that wouldn't have said, you sang beautiful, you looked beautiful, it was a great party, there was nothing wrong, you know. But my head didn't say that at times, and that's just a thought. And one of the things that I've taught myself is, you know, a thought is those little neurons up there twisting around in your brain, and they're just little things, and just imagine them twisting another direction and play a different tape in my head and move on. And because how I feel about myself is in my head.
Well, I think it's really important for people to also note that you're a therapist. There's so many initials after your name, it's scary. And you're human. You know, you're human and real and everything. And you even do this. So imagine what somebody without the training does to themselves. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean,
you know how to course correct. So you know when you're sitting there going, I can't breathe, my Spanx is up to my neck and I still can't breathe. You know, I know that feeling and I know it well. And I know I sit there and I go, okay, I'm beautiful, I have four kids, I have a great husband, I've been married. You know, I rattle on down the list of positive, but at the end of it, I'm still here's a trick. I got stuck in my Spanx. I got stuck. I could not get the Spanx off the middle part of my body for like 10 minutes. It wouldn't go up and it wouldn't go down.
Oh, Lord.
It was stuck. And it was one of those full Spanx things with the straps, the bra and the bottom part too, you know, a full Spanx gown. It goes under a gown. I got, Katie, I rolled down the top of it and tried to get it stuck in it. I was stuck in my Spanx for like 10 minutes. And Peter was like, this is so funny.
Oh, yeah. And see what we're doing. These were humiliating moments. We're using humor. We're using our recipe. And that is so important because I think, don't you, that some of positive self-talk comes with age, too, because you learn to make fun of yourself. You know, it's like when I went through the airport and my skirt was up in my nylons and I didn't know it.
Yeah.
And some nice guy said, you know, you've been walking around flashing the whole airport.
Yeah. Oh, my mom.
And I have a choice. Yeah, I have a choice. Oh, gee,
my mom was...
I can feel humiliated. Or just say, you know, thank you very much and laugh it off.
Your underwear. Yeah, I remember this vividly. My mom and I still talk about this. She was going through the grocery store and she's like, there's something like in my pants. And I'm like, okay, what's that mean exactly? And she's like, hang on, I've got to go over here by the, like, over here in the corner or whatever. She pulled nylons and underwear out of her pants. They got stuck in there for laundry.
Oh, Lord. You see, we've all had these horrible, humiliating experiences where all we have to do is just positive self-talk, turn it around and say, okay, I'm going to laugh at this because I have a choice here. I choose to laugh.
Yeah. And, I think it's important for us to, you know, we're laughing and, you know, this is really funny and everything, but if you're sitting in the mirror, if you're waking up in the morning in the mirror and you, your first thought is, I am so fat. Oh my God, I hate my butt. I hate my eyes. I don't like my hair color. Whatever you're saying to yourself, Katie, what are things that you can do, and does it really work if you change that speech around in the morning, that mirror speech? Because I know we all do it. In fact, my husband made fun of me the other day. He put a pair of jeans on. He was totally, my husband's hysterical. He's got a dry sense of humor, or it comes out of nowhere and just makes you crack up. He put a pair of jeans on, and I was just sitting there writing, and he goes, honey. And he turned around and he goes, do these make my butt look fat like that? Oh, it was so hysterical.
Yes, for every what you do is if you find yourself with negative self-talk, like I look or I have big cheeks or I have a double chin. There's mine. I have a double chin. I hate my double chin. Okay, so I have a choice in that moment to say, all right, I'm looking at my double chin, and I can say, I love my double chin because it's part of my face, and I love my face. Or, I love my blue eyes, I'm heavier than I want to be, but I'm healthy. You turn it around to a gratitude. Always, the more we can turn anything negative into a gratitude, the better. And does it help? Absolutely. And there's a saying, and I think it comes from the 12 step, but it's fake it till you make it. You say positive things until you believe them. And keep saying them because you will believe them. Affirmations work. Yes.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to pick something that you do like about yourself. And say that over and over again, too. You know, like the for some reason I'm blessed with really straight teeth. I don't know why, but my mom has them. My grandma has them. We all have the same teeth. They're not veneered. They're not anything. They're just teeth. So I may not like my second toe on my feet. Like I hate my feet, but I'll be inclined to ignore that and go, you know what? I have nice teeth.
Yep.
So,
and I love my blue
something
eye.
Like that. Focus on the positive of, focus on your assets and the positive of you, rather than.
Oh, I just thought of something. Focus on your assets, not your ass.
I know, I almost said it. I'm like, focus on your assets. Kind of being funny. But yeah, and, you know, and just people are really hard on themselves. And I notice we're, a lot of us are so focused on the mirror look, but I wish we could send a mirror down into our heart or something, you know, so you could actually see your internal organs, because I wish half of us were more focused on what's going on in the inside, the actual makeup of our body and how our heart is functioning and how our lungs are functioning and our liver and our spleen and our gallbladder and our intestines and things like that, rather than the wrinkle, because the wrinkles seem to be pretty inevitable. As does the body decline. And if, you know, if your body declines internally, you know, your wrinkles are irrelevant.
Right. And you know, one of the things that, and if it's okay, I'm going to move on to the next one, which is discover your values and create a value system for yourself. You know, what you value is what you think about and what's important to you. And so as I think about this for myself, as you age, it's what you value. What's more important to you as you age is what's internal, because what's internal starts to change and starts to get a little salty and starts to get a little iffy, and stuff on the outside, well, you know, it's going to change anyway. Can't really, you know, the time marches on thing does happen, and things start to sag and change, and you do your best. And that is what we all need to do, but our values change. It is more important to me that my cholesterol is lower than other things. And a double chin is not as important to me as having low cholesterol. So it does matter what you value. And one of the things we say is our lives and our value systems are dynamic. They change all the time. Asking ourselves, what are we directing our big picture decisions? What are we directing our small decisions? And my favorite question, when I get stuck and I want to know what's most important to me, I always ask myself the question, if I was diagnosed with a life-limiting illness and I was given a limited period of time to live, what would I do? Would I do this thing or would I not do this thing? And usually the answer comes to me immediately. Sometimes not so much, but most of the time it does. And that allows me to see what I value.
Yeah, I like that. And I like that a lot, actually. It's kind of almost like a bucket list or something in a way. You know, like what would you do if somebody gave you limited time to live? But if you actually think about that a little bit more, we all are on a limited time. You know, technically, we really are anyway. And so, and given the fact that you're not guaranteed to be here tomorrow, that always sounds horrible. I kind of almost hate that, but you know, it's kind of true. None of us are really entitled, right?
Well, we're not promised anything. You know, that we're only promised today, right, or this moment, right now. Well, look at what happened in Boston. You know, I mean, you go to a Boston Marathon expecting a beautiful, fun summer day, and look what, or fun day, and look what can happen. So life is unpredictable. All the more reason to focus on what we value and to allow ourselves to put our positive energy towards what we value. And to really, that will change as we age, and that's okay too.
This process of really almost, it's almost like redefining or really focusing in on what's really important to you, sometimes that really freaks out people that are around you. When you say, you know what, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm going to do something else with my time. Sometimes those shifts can really be hard on other people. They don't understand what you're doing exactly.
Oh,
it takes a while to catch on.
And people who divorce. Oh, wow, that's a biggie. When you divorce, your friends are, some of them freak out and like, what do you mean you're doing that? You can't. We've been connected for as a group, as couples, and blah, 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 and how can you do that? And a lot of times that when someone makes a decision to make a change like that, it does have a ripple effect on others who may not have that same courage, who might judge because they don't understand the need, who aren't risk takers, who settle for most things in life, and who come down on someone who's getting a divorce and say, that's just wrong, you shouldn't do that, and how can you do that, and it's okay to do it.
Yeah.
You have to be true to your own value, true to your own self, and there are times when we all have to let go of friends because they've served their purpose.
Time to move on. And well, I also think sometimes behaviors change too. Like, this is a really good spot to talk about things like, I don't want to drink anymore. I don't want to smoke anymore. I don't want to eat that anymore. I don't want to be married to you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to live here anymore. All those things where, you know, I think a lot of us are raised, not everybody or anything like that, but, you know, you have a certain value system maybe that you're raised with from kid to adult, and then as you learn a little bit through life, maybe younger or older, but I know my values have changed in the past 20 years. You know, how I was raised isn't exactly how I live my life now. It's pretty darn close, but there's some things I've tweaked along the way, and I might not do things the way my parents did exactly. I might do something else.
Yeah, and I think one example that I've heard a lot as a counselor is how people want to spend their holidays when they've changed. And I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to go to Uncle Joe's. I don't want to go sit and drink all day and tell stories that bore me to death. I want to go do something else. I want to go to a soup kitchen. I want to go to Hawaii. I want to do something different. And it's really hard for people because that means doing something different than their family or the people they love. And it takes courage to step up and say, you know what? I don't care. I want to do it anyway.
Yeah. All right. So let's keep going. We actually don't have that much time left. Do you know that?
I know.
Really,
we're going to have to do another call.
Yeah. Well, I think we'll get through them. There aren't too many. We'll go fast here through the next one. And that's wellness, because it's very important to practice wellness. And we ask you to think about how well you're taking care of yourself. Are you treating yourself well? Just think about some of these things. We don't have to have, I know this is an overwhelming amount of information that we're giving you, but there's a blog that goes with this call. So as I ask you these questions, please don't feel overwhelmed. They're all written down. What is wellness to you? Do you feel fit? Are you satisfied with how you feel? Are you eating well? Are you exercising? All those things that go with wellness. We're wondering if you're practicing wellness. And I don't know about you, Katie, but I'm going to move off of this one and move on to the next one, because I do the best I can here, but I certainly don't feel like I'm in a position to preach to other people about how well or fit or what they eat, because, you know, I'll eat an Oreo cookie just as good as the next and a bowl of ice cream just as good as the next, and I do my best.
Yeah, I think this is one that you trust. You just keep doing your best every day, and you just try to do better every day. And we do up and down, and I really like what my trainer said to me. She's helping me learn moderation and change of lifestyle, and that is so different than not doing something. It's making little changes consistently. And she told me this really cool thing. She said, if you start to make little changes, your body will start to accept the changes it'll become, they'll be incorporated into your body makeup, and your body will trust you that you're making smart changes. And I was like, my body will trust me? I never heard about that. And that's where I'm really starting to understand wellness in a whole different way. It's balancing every day little things consistently. So it's making wellness a part of your mindset. And yeah. and there's no, you know, no good, you do better some days, you do not so good some days. But it's a mindset that you're always thinking about it. And I think that's, for me, where I'm trying to get to, is that it becomes just automatically how I think, is this part of my wellness? And you're right. Some days it's going to be, well, nope, I'm going to do it anyway. Other days it's going to be, no, it's not, and I'm not going to do it. And
yes.
and we make choices every day, and what's most important is that we keep trying to do better. I think you're right, Elizabeth. I think you are.
Yeah, I think it's tricky too as you get older, because I know, like, you're a marathon runner and I'm a former gymnast, and I don't know about you, but you know, I'm 44, you're 50, and you don't have 10 years up on me. You might have 6. But I don't
52.
See me flipping
yeah.
around on the balance beam anymore, and I'm not seeing you going out and running marathons. So I think things slow down a little bit, and coping with the fact and trying to like relearn, you know, your inner gymnast that's sort of tamed down to a crawl, you know, kind of thing. You know,
oh, yeah.
And so it's not like running a marathon. It might be like walking 2 miles, or, you know, just your lifestyle and your wellness practices change a little bit. And I know for me, being, you know, having an injured neck has changed the way I've had to learn how to exercise. Like, I can't do sit-ups. It does not work for me. Every time I do a sit-up, I'm back in the chiropractor's office. So I can run on a treadmill, though.
Yep, yep. It as you age, you learn tricks of the trade. Well, can't do that anymore, but I can do this. Can't do that. No, but I can do this. And I'm going to learn how to adapt to this. And, yeah, it really is, again, what can I do? It's a mindset. It's what can I do and how can I do it better? That's what, and I think one of the most important words you learn, and any trainer I've ever had, this is probably the word they say to me more than anything, is no. No, you can't run yet, Katie. No, you can't lift that much weight. No, you can't do this yet. No, you're not ready for that. When I trained them for the marathon, I think that was probably what the trainer said to me more than anything ever, was no, you can't do that. You're not ready. And that's a really important lesson, because if we do too much too fast, we get hurt.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we don't know our own limits, we don't want to know our own limits, and we pay a price. And that is a lesson in wellness that I am going to learn, I think, until I die.
Yeah, I know. especially when you're a super go-getter and a super high achiever and things like that. You want to go hit the gym, and your body, you know, it's like your heels, you know, your heels come to a screeching halt and your toes point backwards, you know, it's like, stop, kind of thing. And I know, like, for me today, I tried something new. I did interval training on the elliptical machine, and I cranked it up to level 4, and I wanted to see how long I could stay on the darn thing. And I did too much, and I can barely walk up the stairs tonight.
Well, I did that one time and I almost fell off. I mean, and you could get hurt. That's the other thing, is you can get hurt. I've almost fallen off equipment before when I've cranked it. You get high on the endorphins and you get excited because of the music you're listening to. And the next thing you know, you're flying off the machine. So, it really, again, comes down to conscious, being careful, being aware, being awake, being alert, all those good things.
Well, and I really love this next one, and that's, I think you're going to talk about this one. Do you want to go to discover the power of we and us? Because I think it's so, like, just us even, just the power of we.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I just think this is so important, the power of we. When Elizabeth and I met, one of the things that became so evident is separately we could do great things, but together we could do really great things. And I think that that is such an important mindset, because it is true that if we surround ourselves with people who give us a sense of community, they bring out the best in us, and we bring out the best in them. And that is the most powerful tool. If we're allowed to be, you know, if we think we're amazing and they're amazing and together we do amazing things, that's what's really going to make a difference in the world. And one of the things we talked about is asking someone today, how can I help you? And see what they say. And ask yourself, what have you done for the world today or lately? Are you showing up when someone else needs you? How often do you do something for others just because you want to? Do you do things for others and expect nothing in return? I love what you taught me to do, Elizabeth, which is to buy coffee for someone in the coffee line and not, you know, just buy their coffee.
It freaks people out, doesn't it?
It does. It's so much fun. It's so much fun. I love doing that. Play it forward. And do you turn off that voice that nags when you can't believe you did something for someone but they didn't return it? You know, it's unconditional giving, which is really powerful.
Yeah, I bought the most memorable cup of coffee I've ever bought for somebody to date. I have no idea who this woman was, but I do that all the time. I'm like the phantom coffee buyer. On the last trip I took, I bought the lady in back of me coffee in the middle of an airport.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't say anything. I just quietly told the guy, here, I'm buying her coffee too, and I just walked away. You should have seen the look on her face. I just kind of peeked back. She still to this day, I bet, has no clue who bought that cup of coffee.
I know. It's really fun. It really is fun. And if you're having a bad day, it's a great thing to do. It really puts your spirit immediately.
Yeah, and maybe even buying somebody's milk. Like if somebody's got a couple of items in the grocery line ahead of you, you buy their. There's so many cool things that you can do to just kind of change it up a little bit. Even holding a door open for somebody else is key.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I like that. So anyway, and I think a lot of that is behavior. And so I'm going to move on to the next one, which is manage your behaviors. And when who we truly are at our best is often reflected in how we behave. And does our behavior match our values? Do we respond to situations versus react? I don't know if I can say I've done that a great job of that today. I don't know. I'll have to think about that one. Are we generous and understanding versus critical and judgmental? That's a really big point right there. We're going to come back to that. Actually, let's just stop right there. Judgy.
Yeah. Judgy. Oh, yes. You've heard me say that 100 times. That sounds judgy.
That sounds judgy.
Judgy.
Why do we judge? It seems like you could walk around and go, oh, they're fat, they're short, they're skinny, they're young, they're old, they're better, they're worse, you know, like almost like a rap song. Why do we do that?
Fear. Really, judging others is all about being self-critical. Okay, wait, back that up.
That's like, oh, huh? Yeah. I know you well enough to know what you're saying, but to somebody listening, it's like, huh? Somebody said this the other day, like, what you're really saying about somebody else is how you feel about yourself.
Well, no, it's what you're insecure about in yourself. So, in other words, if you're saying, oh, so-and-so is just so hypersensitive, well, you're saying that you don't have a need, we don't have a need to criticize someone else or judge someone else unless there's something in us that we're insecure about. Because it's such a waste of energy. Why do it? But the only times we do it is when we're insecure. So the most important thing is, you know, when I find myself, oh, they're so, you know, it's just I need to look at my own self and say, oh, well, what in me is giving me permission to do that right now? Why am I feeling badly enough that I need to criticize someone else? And one thing, I love this saying, what someone else thinks of me is none of my business. And it goes both ways. It's like, what, you have no business saying what anything about someone else. It's just another one of those stupid dreams that keep us in a bad place. So I think it's a really, really important thing not to be critical and judgy. And if we are, to look in the mirror. What's going on?
Do you think this is just a question. Do you think girls are more critical and judgy than boys are? Because, like, with four boys, and I've said this on a call before that we've had, you can play baseball, for example, and be out and have a boy on second base or whatever, and the teammates are not saying, oh, my God, look at Joe in those baseball pants. His butt looks so fat in those. Can you believe it? But girls will say, you know what I mean? The whole team isn't going, oh, my God, his shirt is so tight and that baseball uniform, it just isn't working for Joe today, you know, or whatever.
Right.
But girls will say, oh, my God, look at her in that dress. She looks so fat or whatever.
Well, girls are more relational for the most part. I mean, there's always exceptions, and we don't want to stereotype, but
no.
Girls are, for the most part, more relational, and they have come out with research that we talk many, many words more than men during the average day, and so we automatically associate ourselves together in a different way. We look at each other. We have the whole media thing that has standards we're supposed to follow. So we are much more connected to each other in a way that associates us as you're you and I'm me and we're connected and I'm supposed to be like you. And so I think girls are more like that because we're socialized to be more like that. I think boys probably, they compare each other's skills more for the most part. Kids,
okay.
Anyway.
Because, like, I can be in a room with you, and you and I don't do that to each other. We don't sit there and go, oh, my God, Katie, you are so much skinnier than me. I can't believe it.
Oh, my God, no. No, what we do is we say, gee, are your Spanx as tight as mine?
Exactly. Different. So what is that? What's the difference there? It's just maybe, just a different kind of friendship? What makes us not do that? What makes us not be critical and judgy of each other?
I think because where we are in who we are. I know I can only speak for me. I try not to judge. I mean, I do it like everybody else, but I try not to because it's a waste of my energy. It's like, you know that saying when you are angry, it's when you're criticizing someone else or judging someone else or angry with someone else, you're really just poisoning yourself.
Yeah.
So, like, revenge is really poisoning you. So I don't like to waste my energy. You know, I'm 52, and I want my energy going somewhere else. I don't want it going towards judging someone else. That's a waste to me. And that's part of just who we are. We're at a different place in life around that. Yep.
Okay. All right, so let's pick one more thing to talk about, and then let's wind up because we're pretty much at the hour here. We're 4 minutes past at this point. Do you want to pick one more?
Okay.
We can talk about surround yourself with love, make small lasting change, be peaceful, or we could talk about money, which I think let's not talk about money because that's another phone call. Maybe we'll do a separate phone call. Oh, yeah. We already talked about laugh about yourself. What about the other one is failure and pain or teaching moments. Do you have a favorite there that you want to leave us with?
Failure and pain or teaching moments. Yeah, I think that a lot of I loved the Warren Buffett quotes about failure. Everybody fails. Everybody. Everybody in business fails. Every business has failed. What we do with failure is what makes the difference. What do we learn from it? How do we change? How do we rise above it? How do we do things differently? How do we make things better? That, I think, is such a valuable lesson. And I know for me, when I've gone through failure in different areas of my life, that has been such a crucial lesson. What did I learn? what can I do differently? And it takes time to get there because, you know, you're grieving for a little while and you're feeling bad and you have to kind of sit with it for a while and sit with the pain. But if you sit with the pain teaches. And that, the pain teaches and the pain motivates. And I think that's been a really important lesson for me. And, you know, life's full of different times that come up that provide pain, painful teaching moments.
And do you mean even like physical pain? Like, do you mean like something that would happen that's happened in Boston? Or do you mean something different? I mean, there's different levels.
I actually really loved, I was watching a TV show the other day where they were showing the amputees from the war who had come to talk to the amputees from Boston. And the first thing they said is, your life has now changed. You have a new life now. You have a new way of being in the world. And and you'll learn new things. And they were saying, your life is not over. You're going to learn to draw on strengths you didn't know you had. You're going to learn things you never would have learned. You're going to value things you never would have valued. And I've heard this from cancer patients. I wouldn't trade some of the things I've learned from this experience for anything. Now, it's not saying they would have not traded having cancer. That's not true. But lots of people will say, I wouldn't trade what I learned from it. So I think that's really a mindset, is no matter what happens to us in life, there's an opportunity to learn something. And eventually, over time, you can.
Yeah. And then from there, that's where you start to find your community and find your purpose, like we always say, and find your and start to percolate.
Right. And I think if you percolate love, you find love. And surrounding yourself with love, I think, is probably one of the most important ones we have in our recipe. Surround yourself with love. Mm-hmm. People who embrace who you really are.
Okay. Anything else you want to say before we go? I just appreciate everyone listening to us, and I appreciate you taking the hour to be with me, Katie, on this call. We're learning as we go, right?
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. Thank you for all of you for listening and for teaching us.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you visit as a gift for being on the night with, you know, on the call with us tonight, if you visit besteveryou.com and you click in the Best Life area, there is a Get Started, Create Your Best Life tab. And if you click on that and sign up for our newsletter, there's a free complimentary Create Your Best Life. It's like a little ebook almost that we've written. So if you go to the Best Life tab on besteveryou.com and click around in there, sign up for our newsletter, there's a complimentary gift. So thank you all for listening. And tomorrow we do have an actual radio show. It's also featured on Blog Talk Radio. Oh, geez, we forgot to thank Blog Talk Radio, Katie. Thank you, Blog Talk Radio, for featuring
our
show.
Thank you, Blog Talk
Radio. Thank you. Tomorrow we're featured again. We have a guest that we're going to be interviewing at 1 p.m. Her name is Brittany Smooch. She's pop sensation Brittany Smooch, and she's going to be with us to not only talk about her music, but also she has a prom dress giving. She's organized prom dress donations for kids that don't have prom dresses and things like that. So really neat, a really neat young gal coming on, Brittany Smooch. So thank you again, everybody, for listening, and thank you again to Blog Talk Radio. And if you have any questions, please just give us a call on our radio show. It's 714-868-0220. All right. Thanks, Katie. Have a great night.
Thanks.
All right.
Take care.
Everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.